Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk some football right now. Camp is in the rearview mirror. Season openers are here. Ole Miss opening up Saturday morning and Mississippi State opening up Sunday morning or close to it. Logan will talk about that here in just a moment. Logan, how are you, man?
Hey, doing good, Parrish. Feel like I need to talk a little basketball. Right now, I just got out of two basketball press conferences, both Ben Howland and Vic Schaefer just got through talking to us a few minutes ago here in the home. So I'm ready to talk basketball. Isn't that what we're supposed to talk about this time of year?
Well, State's holding basketball press conferences, and Ole Miss is pushing season tickets with Randy Kennedy and that kind of video there. So some interesting things going on with the basketball teams, but let's talk football a little bit. Bulldogs and Rebels. Long time to the Egg Bowl, Logan, but what did State get done in camp? What did they want to do? What did they get done? And what's your feel on this team going into the season opener?
They seem pretty confident. I think one of the things that they wanted to do was develop a lot of those younger players that are stepping up into some of those reserve roles from last year. Everybody, you know, has talked a lot this offseason about how many starters Mississippi State lost. And I think a lot of people got lost in that fact. But, you know, a lot of the people that are taking over their starting roles played key positions for Mississippi State last year, played a lot of key snaps, a lot of key reps. So I really don't think they're going to be hurting that bad from a starting standpoint this year. They're just going to need to develop that depth behind those starters and get some of those redshirt freshmen, some of those first-year junior college players into the mix. So, I think that's one of the things that they did this fall camp. You know, obviously, I didn't get to see a whole lot of practices. You know, I saw three practices for about an hour each, so about 3 hours of fall camp about a month ago. So I really hadn't seen a whole lot. You know, I've just had to go based on what I've been told by the coaches and players.
Yeah, as I tell people, camp coverage in 2015 is more about the sense of hearing than the sense of vision. But tell me a little bit about that depth that State is trying to create. How confident is Dan Mullen in that depth right now? Because if he's not very confident, will those starters play more snaps than they normally would and perhaps get fatigued late in games?
Well, I don't think they're going to go with the 1A, 1B defense stuff that they did last year under Jeff Collins. We talked to Manny Diaz earlier this week, and he basically said that. But he does want to play a lot of players. I just don't think that they're going to, you know, make wholesale changes 11 at a time, you know, alternating series throughout the game like they did last year. I know they like the linebackers that they have. They got some, you know, young guys like Gary Green that they're really excited about, a JT Gray that played a little bit last year. Some players at linebacker they're really excited about. And then also there's some running backs that they really like, some redshirt freshman running backs and Dontavian Lee and Harris Williams that they're really excited about, that they'll get it rotated into that mix behind Ashton Shumpert and Brendan Holloway. So they're excited about some of those guys, and they've got a lot of depth at wide receiver, and I really don't think there's going to be a drop-off there. So, you know, those are some of the key positions they feel good about. They're a little slim in the secondary. They're a little slim with some of those reserve offensive linemen. So we'll have to kind of see how much they rotate those positions in these first few ball games.
Well, I know quarterback has not been an issue at Mississippi State, at least not in the starting perspective. It has been at Ole Miss. It's been the dominant story of camp. Hugh Freeze told us several months ago that he thought the competition could drag into the regular season, and it looks like it will. He did name a starter for the Tennessee Martin game at his Monday press conference in Chad Kelly, the junior college transfer. But, you know, he did that with an asterisk and said that it would depend on the week of practice. And as late as last night, Wednesday night, he was still not fully committed to the idea of starting Chad Kelly. But he has been fully committed to the idea that three quarterbacks will play against Tennessee Martin. Now, you know, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. You'd like to reach this point of camp and be farther along in your decision-making process. But what I think could happen, Logan, in that opener is, each of these Ole Miss quarterbacks gets on the field with the idea that they have a limited window of time to do something big, to be impressive. You know, I think you're going to have some guys that are pressing and trying to hit a home run on every throw. I could see that happening. And I think the potential is there for this game to get a little sloppy for Ole Miss if that occurs. Tennessee Martin, you know, you're familiar with them a little bit with State having played them last year. They played two SEC opponents last year. Looks like they moved the ball okay for stretches of time, not enough time. I ended up getting blown out in both of those SEC games against State and against Kentucky. You know, I see Ole Miss potentially being a little sloppy in this game if the quarterbacks are pressing. If the quarterbacks get out there with the idea that they've got to make something big happen fast, you know, I could see a little bit of lack of efficiency and maybe some missed passes, some things like that. I think there's the potential there because this is not a situation where if one guy gets the hot hand, he's going to stay in the game. You know, all three are going to play. And I can't believe that there's a plan for all three to get an equal amount of snaps and an equal amount of playing time. But, you know, working three quarterbacks into a game for a meaningful amount of time is not easy to do.
Yeah, you talked about, you know, Ole Miss maybe sluggish this week. I could see the same thing happening for Mississippi State. It's happened several times, you know, going on the road in some of these non-conference games under Dan Mullen's watch. Remember back to the Troy game a couple of years ago, the UAB game a couple of years ago, even the South Alabama game last year. Mississippi State weren't as effective as you saw at some points last year. So, you know, Mississippi State's got to guard against that game this weekend down in Hattiesburg against Southern Miss. It's going to be close to a sellout, so it could be, you know, a situation where, you know, they could be walking into a hostile territory. I know there's going to be a lot of Mississippi State fans that make that trip down to Hattiesburg this year. But, you know, it could be a situation where, you know, it's Southern Miss is looking for one of their biggest crowds ever. You know, 36,000-seat stadium, so it's not a very big stadium. So, and it's close to sellout right now. So we'll have to see, you know, what type of crowd shows up. But Mississippi State needs to come out and establish itself early, which is something they didn't do last year in the game against Southern Miss. The score was 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. So it took Mississippi State's offense a while to kind of start clicking. And of course, last year they started the season with Dak Prescott and Damian Williams alternating series at quarterback. They did that through the first three games to give Damian Williams some more snaps and some more reps out there on the field. And they may do that with Nick Fitzgerald. You know, really don't know exactly how much he's going to play, or if Elijah Staley's healthy enough to play, or if Damian Williams healthy enough to play for that matter. But I do expect us to see a lot of Nick Fitzgerald on Saturday. He's kind of become that backup quarterback to Dak Prescott this year. I just don't know if they're going to mix him into the game early on, or if they're going to let Dak build up the lead and then try to get, you know, Nick Fitzgerald some mop-up duty there at the end.
I'm really interested to see this Ole Miss offensive line against Tennessee Martin. They really need to show some major improvement in that area, Logan, when you consider the Rebels on the front line last year. You've got a talent in Laramie Tunsil that could potentially be gone in the first five picks next year. And yet that was a line that collectively gave up pressure on the passer consistently, was very inconsistent in running the ball. They're more athletic along the line this year. They've moved some people around, got a new starter at center, a new starter at left guard. This is a line with five returning starters, but all of a sudden you've got new people up there in the first unit, one of those being Javon Patterson. He was a five-star signee, according to scout.com. A lot of high expectations for this true freshman. He'll start at left guard. And I got a new center there in Robert Conyers. You know, you can talk about the running backs, and Ole Miss is bigger there with Akeem Judd and Jordan Wilkins, bigger than they've been at any time in the backfield under Hugh Freeze for guys who have been in the rotation consistently. But I think this running game is about the offensive line. They've got to push people around. They've got to create space. They've got to be a better run-blocking offensive line. And if they do that against Tennessee Martin, they'll take some pressure off of those quarterbacks. You know, if they know that they're going to be able to line up and run the ball on third and three and move the chains, that's going to help whoever is taking those snaps. Now, I'll tell you, that could be the way that the Rebels keep from getting sloppy in this game, is if they come out and play effective on the offensive line. Hugh Freeze has said that he'll play as many as 10 offensive linemen and will play them early. We'll play them early in the game. So he's going to substitute a lot, and he's going to substitute early if what he said on Monday is accurate and he sticks to that plan. I don't think this has to do with the heat. You know, the high is going to get up to 93 on Saturday. This is about moving bodies in and getting looks at people and finding people on that offensive line that you can trust. They're not going to go through the season playing 10 offensive linemen. But this is about finding those people you can trust. In that regard, it's good for Ole Miss that the FCS game comes at this time of year because they're still sorting some things out like that. Personally, I'd like to see the FCS game later in the year. I think it benefits the team as it was last year when they played Presbyterian in November. You know, this Ole Miss schedule has only one open date. You know, if you've got an FCS game in November, that's potentially an advantage, an opportunity maybe to rest some people and to heal a little bit. Ole Miss is losing that advantage by playing the FCS opponent right now in the season opener, but you know, you take advantage in other areas, and one area is going to be moving a lot of those offensive linemen in there on Saturday.
Yeah, one of the things I'm looking forward to seeing is just how many players. Dan Mullen said Monday that the team's completely healthy, you know, as opposed to some maybe some bumps and bruises along the way they've, you know, suffered throughout training camp. But, you know, the team's relatively healthy. He knocked on wood after he said that. So we'll have to see if that's true and, you know, just how many of these guys actually play on Saturday. You know, looking at suspensions and things of that matter, Mississippi State had a tumultuous spring break, to say the least, and really haven't heard a whole lot about what the discipline issues for that. You know, usually that first game is when you see those kind of take into effect, you know, and those could stem from anything like, you know, the incidents on spring break to missing class, being late to workouts, things of that nature. So, you know, we won't find out exactly who is going to be suspended probably until right before kickoff. But, you know, there's some possibilities out there. You know, there usually is, you know, one or two guys that don't, you know, make the trip or don't play in the game. So, you know, I'll have more of that, you know, when I get to Hattiesburg on Saturday. But, you know, so that's kind of some of the things you look for in that first game. Just, you know, since I haven't seen the team practice in a month, I really don't know exactly who's healthy and, you know, don't know yet who's going to be suspended.
You mentioned injuries. I think Ole Miss goes into this game in pretty good shape. They lost Herbert Moore, a reserve defensive lineman, like on the first day of practice to an ACL. He's done for the year. But that's a very deep defensive line. Herbert Moore was not going to factor in that much this year. They were able to absorb that loss. Later in camp, they lost an offensive lineman, Rod Taylor. He was running first team at the time. He will factor in, but it looks like he'll wait till after the season to have surgery on that torn labrum. He'll play through the season. He's not going to play in this first game, but he'll be back in the mix there pretty soon. And he was, like I said, running first team at the time. Now, he'll be behind for having missed the second half of camp, but he could potentially get in there and, you know, if not challenge again for that starting job at right guard, at least push Justin Bell and get some playing time there as a reserve. Injuries, they, you know, like I said, they were pretty good with that in camp. Jeremy Liggins missed a handful of practices with the hamstring. Tony Connor, the Husky, missed some time with the knee. According to Hugh Freeze, everybody is back. Everybody, you know, with that sort of minor injury is available, you know, for this opening game. I'm curious to see what Jeremy Liggins does this year, Logan. I know that you're aware of him from recruiting and just the different roles that he's played at Ole Miss. People think of him last year as the short yardage quarterback. He says there'll be some of that this year, that they'll continue with that. But he's the backup tight end now. There was a little bit of an experiment with him at left offensive tackle in the spring. That's done. He's the number one backup at tight end, but he's a very different player than Evan Engram, the starter. They stretched the field with Evan Engram. He's a matchup problem for opposing secondaries with his speed and for some other guys with his size. He's a real weapon as a pass catcher. You don't look at Jeremy Liggins at 6'3". What he says is 290. He's listed at 302. You don't think of him as a pass catcher, but in his words, people tend to, quote, sleep on him on pass routes, and he thinks he's going to wake some people up this year. He thinks running routes and catching footballs is going to be a big part of his game. When you look across the Mississippi State roster, you know, who surprises you like that? I guess who are some guys that you'd like to see that you think might carry a little bit of a different role this year?
Well, you know, I can look just straight at the tight end position, kind of like you did, Parrish. Mississippi State's got two tight ends that they're replacing, Malcolm Johnson and Brandon Hill, both graduated. Of course, Malcolm Johnson moving on to the Cleveland Browns. And you got a guy in Gus Wally who really only has played 1 year of college football, caught four passes a year ago, had a touchdown in the UAB game, and he's going to be your starter. And he's kind of the clear-cut starter at that position right now. But you've got a guy behind him in Darian Hutcherson, who's a second-year junior college player going into his final year. The guy's got NFL written all over him as far as his size. He's 6'7", 260 pounds, just ripped. You know, looks like the prototypical, you know, tight end, you know, from the NFL coming, you know, off the bus. But it really struggles catching the football. And, you know, it's one of those situations where they love to try to use him down there in the red zone. And they practiced a lot with that during the spring. And I'm sure they worked a lot on it this summer as well and going into fall camp. Just working with a guy that size down in the red zone, trying to create those mismatches down there inside, you know, on the goal line and inside the red zone as well. And I think they'll use him some in those packages. But, you know, you see a guy that with that size and, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys out there in the SEC defensively that can cover a player like that. He's pretty athletic for that size. And like I said, 6'7", a former basketball player, he can jump out of the gym. And then you got a guy at receiver like Darunye Wilson at 6'5", a former basketball player. That's a lot of mismatches that you can throw that fade to down there in the end zone. Or maybe you do that jump pass that Dan Mullen likes to do down there on the goal line. So we'll kind of have to see how they use those guys.
I'm a fan of throwing to the big guys, Logan. I like to see the big tight ends catch and run. So in that regard, Liggins taking off on a pass pattern, catching the ball in the open field, that'll be fun to watch. Evan Ingram's fun to watch, too. He's a much different guy. I don't know that Hugh Freeze is excited about the big guys running and catching as I am. I've always liked to see the big tight ends catch the ball and then get ahead of steam and watch how hard they are to tackle. Folks, that's it for this week. Mississippi State opening up 9 o'clock Central Time kick at Southern Miss in Hattiesburg. Ole Miss with an 11 a.m. kick at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford. The regular season is here. We'll be with you each week on Thursdays, a little bit different time. We were a little bit later today, but we're going to try and do this middle of the day on Thursdays, 11:30 noon, around that time. We'll let you know through social media and the blogs. Be sure to come back and join us each week.